Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to our advanced class, and we're going to talk about five steps to healthier kids and healthier life today, so stay tuned. We're happy to have you with us today as we talk about these five steps to healthier kids. There's probably more than five, but we have two parents here with us. We have Linda Ludwig. How many children did you raise?
I raised two children.
And what about you, Josh?
I have two, still raising them.
And I've raised a lot of other people's kids. I don't have my own, but I still think I shouldn't have certain things around my home because when people come with their kids, or even for me, so whether you have kids or not, this still is a good lesson.
It certainly is, and it focuses really on the kind of chemicals that we have in products that we might not be aware of that really affect our children and us.
Right. So whether you have children or not, just say five steps to a healthier life. Maybe that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And this article is on page 44, and it's called parenting, but it doesn't really even need to be parenting. I think it could be just be called health, couldn't it?
Yes, actually it has a lot of good advice for the general, all of us, general public.
Because right. We're going to find a lot of these products in all of our homes,
That's
whether we
right.
have kids or not. Mm-hmm. So it's about paying attention to the types of products we buy and use.
Mm-hmm. So it does say that if we make these smarter choices, there's choices, the X means don't do it. The check means it's okay, make the right choice, and it will be a healthier home for everybody, not just the children. Don't you think?
Yes, I totally agree. And, the reason we're going to talk about this is because children are smaller and they absorb more. But also adults do, too. So we need to think about maybe something that we're doing is really not healthy for us.
That's true. So I think we're going to just take the first paragraph first and talk about it. Let's just read the first paragraph.
Five steps to healthier kids. Making smarter choices will help to create healthier homes and healthier children. Children are particularly susceptible to dangerous chemicals because of their lower body weight. It takes a much smaller amount to harm their developing bodies. Here are alternatives to the dangerous chemicals your child probably comes into contact with every day.
I suppose everybody is susceptible to dangerous chemicals, but children are particularly susceptible. I like that word because that means that it's very easy for us to be hurt by these things.
Right. So susceptible means you're vulnerable to something or you're easily affected by it. And it's because children have a much lower body weight. So their body absorbs, as I said before, the chemicals more easily.
We usually use the word susceptible around health-related issues, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a low immune system and you're susceptible to catching colds
right.
easier
mm-hmm.
than others.
That's true. So it's really takes just a little bit of some of these chemicals to hurt the children's bodies. And so what are you supposed to do then? Because a lot of these things we see sold in supermarkets and stores, and they advertise them and say, do this, it'll get rid of certain things in your home. And then you don't realize that it might harm somebody in your family. So this article is sort of article to help us be aware of certain things.
Right. We're not trying to make everyone paranoid about the things in their house. I mean, some of the things we're going to talk about today have good intentions, but they do have potential side effects that we're learning about through science and over time, right?
Right. And I think the positive part of this article is it gives us alternatives or other choices to the chemicals that we may find in our household. So then it would be healthier for our children and also for us and our pets.
So they give us alternatives. That word is mentioned, line 6. There mm-hmm. are other ways. Alternative is another way, another choice mm-hmm. that you can use instead of using something that has dangerous chemicals. you know, chemicals have been good because they've done a lot to help us. But then there's a lot of people that say chemicals have also caused a lot of cancers and things like that. So there's the good and bad side of chemicals.
Right. And we're going to look at some chemicals that are used in everyday products that maybe we overuse or that are questionable.
Now, I think these chemicals are listed on most of the products, but they're not always listed on products. I try to look at some things to find out what's listed. And sometimes you have to look at whether they're in Chinese or in English. But I think a lot of things now, the governments are requiring people to list some of the things that are in the product, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of things we're learning over time, right? There's some studies. If you go online and look at some of the chemicals we're going to talk about today, there isn't definitive proof yet that these chemicals are dangerous. There is some evidence. There is things linked to animals or certain outbreaks of things. But these are chemicals that, whether they're government organizations like we're going to talk about today or just companies who are trying to do things differently, are using. And you just need to be aware that they may have negative effects.
And if there's a question about them, as far as I'm concerned, well, then maybe you shouldn't use them. What do you think?
Yes, I totally agree. You know, we just don't know. There are a lot of chemicals are usually man-made, and they're designed for a specific purpose. And as you said, there's both good and bad to it. If you don't know and you suspect something, then stop using it, because there are alternatives.
So that's what we'll talk about now for today's program. And actually, we mentioned some of these words. Some of the words are hard to pronounce. Some of them you might never remember. But if you see them, you'll know you read them anyway, even if you can't remember them. But the first one, it sounds kind of like a strange word to me. What is the first one we're going to talk about, Linda? Would you read that for me?
Triclosan. And it's found in many antibacterial hand soaps, gels, and body washes. Now, you know, we live in a society that wants to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't like germs. We know that they cause diseases, bacteria. So, of course, we want to do everything that we can to keep our children safe in particular. And anti obviously means against. So we're using soaps and gels against bacteria. But it can be dangerous.
What does it say about this triclosan? What could it do to hurt us?
Well, it says it interferes with the thyroid function. And the thyroid is an important part of your body, and especially in kids, we want it to function properly. And it's been tested. I read online in rats had some negative effects of triclosan regarding their thyroid. So it hasn't been proven yet to cause damage to humans, but in some juvenile rats, it had determined to destroy their thyroid.
Well, I think it's also interesting that it's been linked to the creation of superbugs. And we've talked about superbugs before in Advanced. These are bacteria or germs that are resistant to antibiotics, so it's becoming more and more difficult to treat, you know, certain diseases.
Right. So I guess now we're going to buy some of these gels and body washes. They really look good, and the ads make them look good, and they show in the TV people washing with them, and the smell's good. But I think I'm going to look at them and see whether they have triclosan. I didn't look at them before. Did you ever do that?
No, I don't.
Are you going to do it now?
Probably.
I think so.
There is a natural brand of hand wash that my wife uses that I'm confident doesn't have triclosan, but I think I'm not sure we're looking at all of our products that we use with the kids.
But you do look at that one, huh?
That we're definitely going to
start
looking at.
You already knew about that one, Josh.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, there is something else you could do instead of buying all those things. It's kind of a simple thing. What could you do?
It's called soap and water.
Soap and water, right.
How novel.
I know. Right. But I think it's interesting that, you know, gels and body washes and, you know, these pumped hand soaps, they're so fashionable.
They are.
I mean, they are. They're, if you go into
any
drugstore or any grocery store, anywhere you shop, you know, that's the first thing that you see over a bar of soap.
Right. And maybe it's just plain soap and water might be good.
It's worked for a long time.
They make soap better now than they used to many years ago, too. Soap is better, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know we used to always buy what we called ivory soap because it says 99 and 100% pure or something like that. So it didn't have all the stuff in it. But nowadays people want more complicated things instead of these plain soaps.
Well, you want it to smell good and you want it to look cool.
Right. Right. So let's check that out next time you're going to buy something. That's the one that we just read. Let's read that one more time.
Triclosan. It's found in many antibacterial hand soaps, gels, and body washes. Triclosan is believed to interfere with thyroid function. It also has been linked to the creation of superbugs, which are resistant to antibiotics. Soap and water.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the next one now, which is flame retardants. Now, have you heard much about those, Josh?
I'm not familiar with clothing made of flame retardant chemicals, but I think this was popular maybe before my kids were born.
Right. Actually, I was saying that my kids are older and in their late 20s. And when they were small children, it was very, very popular to look for flame retardant sleepwear. And it was usually in the sack kind or the fitted kind that they wore. And everybody looked for flame retardant sleepwear.
In case something caught on fire that the babies...
I don't know why we were so afraid of fire. But
flame
retardant, the word just means to hinder, okay? So if something caught on fire, it would probably stop it from burning as much as one as something normally would.
Okay, so let's read that one. Let's read about the flame retardants, and we'll discuss it some more.
Flame retardants. Chemicals found in flame retardants are linked to serious health issues, such as delayed brain development, reproductive problems, and cancer. Organic cotton or natural latex. Instead of clothing made with flame retardants, opt for snug-fitting organic cotton clothing and a working smoke detector. Also, choose a crib or child's mattress made from organic cotton or natural latex.
Well, it seems like it's kind of complicated to have kids if you have to think about all these kind of things. I thought, you know, you just buy clothes for them. Look
right.
at all. It's very complicated.
We got to watch the what we put on their bodies when they're getting clean.
Right,
and
but
then
they smell
when they're
nice
and clean. We got to put them in
think
to
twice
bed
before you start to have too many kids.
Non-flame retardant, chemically bound clothes. So, yes, these are found in the clothes that Linda talked about, linked to serious health issues such as delayed brain development.
That is very serious.
That is very serious.
Well, and then
and
like
reproductive
cancer.
Problems, so yeah. That means that it might affect their ability to have children and also cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, there is a big rise in children's cancer.
Yes, that's true.
And there are a lot of cases, mm-hmm. and people are wondering why and where that's coming from.
So the clothes that weren't flame retardant, you're saying maybe were polyester or these kinds of products?
Well, actually, some of the flame retardant clothing, I mean sleep clothing, usually it was found in sleepwear,
mm-hmm.
was actually polyester. A lot of it was mm-hmm. polyester or a blend or something like that.
So those would catch fire easily.
Right.
And
you know,
because
polyester, if it catches on fire, you know, really hugs your skin.
Mm.
I think that was the thought. And then it would make the burn in the child worse.
Fire is fire. It could kill them anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
So parents were thinking they were doing the right thing.
Right.
By buying snuggies and sleepwear that had this chemical in it.
Right.
Well, we certainly don't want to have any of these terrible things happen. So what can we do then? What does the check one say?
Well, it says to choose organic cotton or natural latex. And latex really is a kind of rubber substance. It comes from trees. So really what they're saying is you should be choosing natural fibers for your children.
Mm. Well, a lot of people like cotton, and I think cotton is mm-hmm. really a very good thing for your skin. If you have any problems with your skin, cotton is always better than these other kinds of materials.
Right.
It says opt for snug-fitting cotton, and that's a good phrase, snug-fitting. I mean, it wraps around your body.
Well, I think they're talking about children's sleepwear in particular, and that's what you don't want a lot of. You don't want your baby in particular sleeping in loose clothing because it's kind of dangerous, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and never put blankets on an infant in a crib.
That's why you have those thick cotton kind of thick.
I think they need a special class for parents.
Right? No, they definitely do. Yeah. No, you zip them up and they're nice and snug in it. I always asked, why don't they have those for parents? Because they look so comfortable. Just zip me up and I'm ready for bed.
What about the cribs, though, and the mattresses? And you have to even think of that. You just can't go out and buy one that looks nice.
Well, they're saying make sure that it doesn't have flame retardant chemicals in it because, they're also concerned with that, too. So the whole, sleepwear kind of thing and what they sleep on is...
So if you didn't know that, and they would say, well, you should buy this because in case there's a fire, it's safer, you might buy that.
Right, right.
But you joke that parenting is complicated these days, Doris. My wife is so good about all the different brands and which one are safe and which ones don't have chemicals. I've said she should start a little consulting business.
I think so.
To help new moms with all the things that they think they should try to buy.
That's a good idea.
Organize.
I think they need that as part of that education and being a parent, right?
Right.
And we have a great phrase in here. It says opt for, okay? And opt for just means to choose. Instead of choosing this, choose that. It's a great phrase for all kinds of situations.
Okay. Well, there's several other things coming up, and this is getting, a little bit more dangerous as we go along. here's something that when the pesticides came in many years ago, they thought, oh, that's good. They kill all the bugs, and the bugs won't eat the plants, and, they were really great. And then they found out they had problems with them. So let's read the one on pesticides first before we talk about it.
Pesticides. The EPA warns that most pesticides are especially dangerous to children because they block absorption of nutrients. Vinegar, borax, or food-grade diatomaceous earth. Spraying vinegar around doors, windows, and countertops will keep ants away, borax and sugar will kill roaches, and diatomaceous earth will kill all insects, which means you must use it selectively.
Well, the EPA, of course, is explained in our specialized terms. It's just the Environmental Protection Agency that America has. But most countries do have agencies that protect the health and the environment by saying which products you can use and which you shouldn't use. Some they won't even let them sell. So that's supposed to be a protection agency. They can't do everything, though. They try.
Right. And here, notice that they're warning, that most pesticides are dangerous. And again, we're going back to our very first paragraph. Children have a lower body weight, so they are less resistant to – their bodies are less resistant to absorbing more of the chemicals. And it's interesting to note here that pesticides can block the absorption of nutrients.
And nutrients are so important for children. That's what they need.
That's
right.
What do nutrients do?
Well, they feed our organs and they keep us healthy. And so note we're talking about not pesticides in our foods. We're talking about pesticides for home use for insect prevention primarily. So what pesticides are you introducing into your home to keep the insects away? And that's been something the EPA has been investigating and trying to make sure that we're using the right types of chemicals in our homes to keep spiders and bugs away.
If you live in the north, a more northern area, you don't have so many problems with bugs because the kind of problems that they have in the southern part because it freezes, and the bugs die. But if you live in a temperate climate, or a warm climate, then you really have to pay attention to this.
In Asia and Southeast Asia, countries like that, whether it's humid and, we have all kinds of problems with ants and cockroaches and even termites eat your wood. You've got all kinds of problems, don't you?
We spray at our home in California every month. I have a company come to spray the outside for insects to keep the ants and the spiders out. And it is a pesticide, yes. And then inside we use natural products. There's a natural ant and roach killer that we use that supposedly, I don't think it would taste very good, but it's doing no harm to us. You could ingest it if necessary. And
But so, I think even if you use a pesticide in your yard, you have to be careful if your kids run through it barefoot or play out on the lawn.
That's true.
If you have a lawn or are exposed to it, you know.
Or if we had any pets, we'd have to be concerned there.
Yeah.
That's right. And most people do in the States. Well, what can you use? What is the check here? The good things?
Well, I think it's interesting that vinegar is one. Vinegar you find in a – when you start reading about alternative cleaning aids for around your house, vinegar is usually the top one that you can use to do a lot of things, and also borax. Now, borax is a white powder used to make glass and cleaning products, and it's not a pesticide. It's considered very safe. But
yeah,
we were talking
a very old-fashioned,
right?
Too.
Very old-fashioned.
Yeah,
that's
a long time. Yeah.
But we were also talking about baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another one
that's
that
use.
You can use,
because there's a lot of ants that get around and come in the little cracks in your apartments and the wood and so forth. So if I put that all around the baking soda, then the ants don't come into the apartment and roaches. Then,
right.
And don't forget diatomaceous earth.
I don't know about that one. Now, that's kind of a big
that
word.
That one was new on me, Doris. Yes.
Yeah, tell me about that one.
That's a natural soft rock made from fossilized plants, and it's used in building construction and at residential use as well in the U.S. It's very popular.
Where would you go out and buy it and ask for that? I don't know. Go to a store and say, do you have any? Do you think they would know what you mean?
I think it'd be pretty impressive if you use that word at Home Depot in California.
The clerks might not know what it is. I don't know. Can you buy that?
I think you can, yes. When it says food grade, meaning I think it could be used for human use, you know, around humans. Everything is food grade, meaning that it's...
Well, I think I'm just going to, you know, stick to the common, you know, soda and things like that.
It is in the check mark section, so it does mean it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay anyway if you can't use it.
If you know what it is.
Okay. All right.
But so, I think they give some good advice here. So spray vinegar around your doors and windows and countertops to keep ants away, or baking soda.
Yeah.
You know, these are natural ingredients, and borax and sugar will kill roaches.
I'm not sure about the sugar.
You need the sugar to draw them, and you mix it together. I had a friend who used to make borax cookies and put them out for cockroaches.
I hope the kids didn't eat those.
Right.
Yeah, she didn't have kids.
Okay. Well, what about the air fresheners? I mean, there's so many air fresheners now. And what about air fresheners? It says, why mask the bad smells with air-polluting chemicals? But sometimes the smells are so strong, especially if you've had chow tofu or something, you know. Or certain things, you want to get rid of the smell, and you can just push one of those air fresheners. But what about those?
Well, it's in the X category, which means you shouldn't be using them. I just open a window. A lot of people, actually, I'm allergic to most air fresheners. So when somebody has them in their car or in their room or something, it's really, it's one of the things that a lot of people are allergic to.
Well, let's read that one.
Air fresheners. Why mask bad smells with air-polluting chemicals? Fresh air, baking soda, and soy candles. Getting fresh air into your home can alleviate odors. For tough and stubborn smells like in your garbage can, all-natural baking soda can work wonders. To bring sweeter scents into your home, use soy candles instead of petroleum-based ones.
So I'd never thought that air fresheners were actually polluting the air. Polluting is negative, right?
I thought they made it smell good, you know. Took away the bad smells, right?
Right. But no, it's causing damage to the air because we're putting chemicals out there that have these artificial smells to it, whether it's lemon or rosemary or whatever the fragrance is. So the alternatives, the check mark there at line 3 says fresh air. Open a window and get some fresh air.
Well, I guess as soon as this lesson is over, there's going to be a big, all the sorghum going to want, how come everybody's buying baking soda all of a sudden? Going to be a big run on baking soda, right?
And then soy candles. I've never smelt a soy candle, but soy is a natural product, right? A bean that is used, I guess, to make candles.
Have you got any soy candles?
No, I've never heard of them before this article, actually.
To check this one out, right? Hmm. Because candles are kind of nice.
I like the smell of soy sauce. Is that what they would smell like?
Maybe.
I kind of like candles. They look
nice,
too.
Yeah.
But we'll find that out.
In the next line, we see a word we taught earlier in the month, alleviate. And that's a good word. We use that in our travel lesson.
That's right.
And that's to reduce. So use fresh air in your home to alleviate or reduce odors. And odors are bad smells.
Depends on where you live. In some cities, if you open the windows, it's worse.
Than the smell. Right. You're trying to get rid of.
You hope you get some fresh air coming in. That's good. Okay, well, what about the chemical cleaners? Let's just read that one now. And let's finish this article.
Chemical cleaners. Most of us don't know we're polluting while cleaning, because the makers of popular household cleaners aren't required to list all their ingredients on the label. You can use all-natural vinegar and baking soda to clean and disinfect just about every surface in your home. Making smarter choices will help to create healthier homes and healthier children.
So we're talking about chemical cleaners here, you know, and we want to keep our houses clean, but we don't know that actually we're doing more harm than we are good.
Can't even have the list of the names on there? You can't even find out what's on those cleansers?
Most of us just use a brand that maybe we grew up with or that we know does a good job. But I do know people that use vinegar and baking soda to clean and disinfect things. And disinfect just means to clean something with a chemical that destroys bacteria. But here you're destroying the bacteria without a harmful chemical.
And we talk about the surfaces, and that's what our children are touching, whether it's their hands on the kitchen counter, whether it's their feet on the kitchen floor. What are we exposing our kids to on the surfaces in our home?
Right.
So it says, if you make these smarter choices when you buy things, it'll create healthier homes and healthier children and maybe healthier adults. Who knows?
I think probably it will.
So I think these are some good tips and things to think about.
Me too. And I think that, you know, there's no time like today to start.
So I'm going to go home and check on some of mine. What about you, Josh?
I'm going to go buy some diatomaceous earth.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope good luck in trying to find some of that. And thanks for being with us for this lesson. It's the last day of the month, but February is coming up. And for some of us, there's going to be Chinese New Year, a lot of exciting things. So we'll see you for the new articles tomorrow. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Goodbye.